Amen and amen. Good stuff. Well, this morning, the famous handwriting on the wall in the Bible came as a miraculous appearance of a hand that wrote a message on the plaster of a wall during a drunken orgy and party put on by Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, the last king of Babylon. And the man of God wasn't invited to the party, amen? And he wasn't participating in the party, but he was brought in when all else failed to read the writing of God's judgment written on the wall of the pagan partygoers. He was brought in by the queen, now not his wife, but the probable grandmother, the former queen, the wife of Babylon's greatest ruler, Nebuchadnezzar. This king, Belteshazzar, his dad was Nabonidus. That's why he offered Daniel the third position, because he was second. Nabonidus was on the trip, and he was third. But Nebuchadnezzar likely was his grandfather. Godly preachers like Daniel may not be popular or sought out by ungodly people of this world's in crowd. But when all else fails and everything is crashing in, that's when they turn to the man of God who has the answers from the Word of God. How sad is that, amen, when it's too late? When God caused the hand of his angel suddenly to appear and write the message, likely in great big letters on the wall so everybody could see it, the message that was written, the way it was written, caused the king of Babylon to literally defecate in his pants. That's what it means when it says his loins were loosed. He defecated in his pants. And his knees were so wobbly that they shook together and bumped one another. That's not the Charleston. And he didn't know what to do and didn't have the answer. But the message that was written on the plaster of the wall in large letters, no doubt, said this: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Huparsin. Now, I submit to you this morning that this message of judgment from Almighty God is as relevant in AD 2024 as it was in 538 BC. It was for the king of Babylon, but it's also for you who are in this church building this morning to read the handwriting on the wall. It is for you this morning to read and understand the message. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Huparsin. This is a message for you to read and understand, and understand it as being a message from God's judgment, I believe, on the systems of evil over the United States of America, on the systems of evil over the churches in our land, on a message of God's judgment on unsaved individuals, as well as a warning for God's judgment for those of you who are born again children of God and have been given time to repent of some sin and yet have not heeded the warning. The name of the message is this morning, Read the Handwriting on the Wall, Daniel 5. Read the handwriting on the wall, Daniel 5. Number one, I want to say that you need to understand what it means. It says in verse 25 and 26, I'll read it again. 25 and 26 says these words, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Huparsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persian. So you say, Pastor, all right, what does Mene mean? Well, it means that God gives you time to repent before his judgment falls on you. But when your time is up and you have not repented, the judgment will fall upon you. Tekel means what my father-in-law used to say about some of his employees and also some that wanted to be his employees in his business. He said, I'd like to buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. In other words, God is saying that Belteshazzar thought he and his kingdom were really great and wonderful, but God said, Belteshazzar, you don't measure up in practice to your opinion of yourself. Huparzin means, according to Daniel 5 and verse 28, that your kingdom, and when I say your kingdom, what you have done in this world and accumulated during your time on earth, will now be taken from you and given to others to have it. And so I'm saying that Belteshazzar had warnings and he had opportunities to heed the warnings from God, but he had not listened to them. You say, well, what are you talking about? What warnings did Belteshazzar have? Well, the man of God, Daniel, had warned his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, who ruled Babylon, and he told him about an image of a dream that he had with a head of gold, remember, the arms of silver, and the belly and thighs of brass, and the lower legs and feet of iron, and then iron and clay. And he told them they represented his empire of Babylon, then the silver would be the Persian empire of the Medes and the Persians, and then the brass belly would be the Greek empire. And then after that, the Roman Empire. And then the Roman Empire would be revived in the last days before Christ comes back. And he had explained that to Nebuchadnezzar. But how did Nebuchadnezzar respond? He made an image of gold representing his empire all the way through. And he said, I'm the only true empire. And God said through Daniel, no, that's not right. And then he had great pride, and he said, and he tried to burn three Hebrew children that wouldn't bow down to his golden image, and he tried to throw them in a fiery furnace, but Jesus showed up and saved them, and they weren't burned, and they came out of the fire, so Nebuchadnezzar couldn't destroy them. Did he learn his lesson? No, he didn't. Later on, he had another dream, and Daniel interpreted the dream, and it meant that his kingdom was going to be cut down, and only a stump would be left. It was like a big tree, and only a stump would be left, and that stump would come back and thrive again, but that he had to be cut down because of his pride. Do you know pride goeth before a fall? And if you're riding high and you think you're something, when you're nothing, God is able to hew you down. Everybody has their part to play in this church.
Right.
You play your part. You say, Pastor, are you the dictator? No, I'm just raised up to see nobody else is. And I'm just saying that's my part. You have your part. And I'm just saying that Nebuchadnezzar took God's part. Amen? By the way, that's what the devil wants us to do. He's prideful. He wants us to play God. Amen? And he said, after Daniel warned him, he said, oh, king, learn your lesson. I don't want this to happen to you. And Nebuchadnezzar, the grandfather of Belteshazzar, he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? And right then, God took away his mental ability, and he became insane. He was 302'd or whatever they call that. He was insane. And he crawled around like an animal. His fingernails grew like an animal, and his hair grew, and he crawled around, and they had to feed him with grass. And for 7 years, he lost his mind and his kingdom. He couldn't rule over his kingdom and be the big guy. He was just humbled. And then after 7 years, God gave his understanding back, and it appeared that Nebuchadnezzar was converted to become a believer. And he declared Daniel's God as the true God. And he did great things in the kingdom, but his grandson had obviously forgotten the lesson. And what did his grandson do? He had the Medes and the Persian army all around him. And instead, he said, we're going to have a drunken orgy. We're going to have a party. We're not worried about this silver kingdom that Daniel said was the Medes and Persians that will take over from Babylon. We're not worried about that. We've got... And by the way, let's turn your cell phone off. Amen. Right now, stop looking at the cell phone. Look at me. You're here in church to listen to the Word of God. Stop it. Mene, mene, tekel, huparzin to you if you got that cell phone on. Get it off. I want to say to you this morning that he didn't learn the lesson. Belteshazzar didn't learn the lesson. And when this Mede and Persian army was gathering all around, he had this big party. It was a drunken orgy. And he had the audacity to take the true God and the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple of the true God and drank wine in them. By the way, whether you got wine in a bottle, wine in a glass, or wine in a communion cup, you shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be drinking booze. You're a dummy if you do. And he was doing it, and they had this orgy going on, and they were just having a great time. And in the meantime, they said, we don't have to worry. We've got walls around Babylon that nobody has ever been able to scale. Nobody can defeat us. And they could take chariots three abreast and have chariot races around the top of Babylon. And underneath the walls had the Euphrates River flowing. And you couldn't get under the walls because of the river. There was no way in. He said, they could have their armies out there all they want. We're just going to have a wonderful time here. We got everything we need right inside of Babylon, man. They can't stop us. Can I say something to you? They may not be able to, but God can. And that's what he forgot. And so God said, you forgot it, so here comes the hand. And it may have been an angel who had part of a hand, just the hand part, and the hand appeared and started writing on the wall, mene, mene, tekel, huparzin. And the king is like, defecating in his pants, his knees are coming together. He's like so shook up. All of a sudden, that woke him up. Amen. Can I say that you need to read the handwriting on the wall today? You need to understand what it meant to him. And number two, you need to understand what it means to you this morning. And I want to say, firstly, understand what it means to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm talking now to believers, and you say, how does this apply to me? Mene, mene, tekel, huparzin. Well, I think of Eli. You know, he was a believer. He was a high priest. He was a man of God. He was in Israel, and God had warned him and warned him that he was not doing things the way God wanted him to do it. He had a position of leadership. He was not doing what God wanted him to do. By the way, watch out when God gives you a position of leadership. Because God will test you and he'll require more of you as a leader.
Right.
And the Bible tells us that Satan was Lucifer. He had the highest position and he fell to the lowest place.
Right.
Watch out. And pride goeth before a fall. And so Eli was a believer, and he had this position, and God kept warning him, you're allowing things to go on in your ministry that God doesn't want. You better change. And Eli didn't do it. He just kept doing what he did, and he was faithful with what he did, but he didn't do exactly what God wanted him to do. Let me tell you, there's something more important than sacrifice, worship. It's called obedience. Obedience, Samuel told Saul, is better than sacrifice. And to hearken better than the fat of rams. He said to Saul, he said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, that was not saying rebellion is witchcraft. Saul had cleared witchcraft out of the land. He had done something good. But he still rebelled against what God wanted him to do. He wanted him to kill all the Amalekites, and he thought, no, I'll take some of it and worship God with it. And he listened to the people rather than listen to God. Now listen, I get counsel from my wife, but if my wife says something that I think is contrary to the Word of God, I'm going to listen to the Word of God.
That's good.
You are responsible to do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Politically correct or not, believer. And it is important because as believers, the Bible said, let judgment begin in the house of God. And he will do that. And so, and that's good for teenagers. That's good for adults. That's good for all of us that are here. And I'm just saying that King Saul didn't listen to the warning of God. And so God brought Samuel back from the dead because Saul was even going to a witch. God brought Samuel back from the dead to give Saul a final warning, and he said, you know what? You haven't listened, so tomorrow you're going to be with me. Somebody said, what did Samuel mean by that? Samuel died and went to Abraham's bosom, and he said, Saul, you're going to be with me, and so is Jonathan, your sons, tomorrow. They were killed in battle. They went home, so to speak, at that time. Now, it wasn't hell because to be with him, there was a great gulf fixed so that nobody could pass from paradise to hell and from hell back to Abraham's bosom. Nobody could do that. There was a great gulf. So when he said, you're going to be here with me, no, he meant with him. And I'm just saying that what does that mean to a believer if you don't obey God's word in your life and you have opportunity after opportunity to hear the preaching of the word of God, to hear somebody that uses the word of God and counsels you and rebukes you and encourages you to do what's right, and you say, well, I'm doing this, that, and the other thing, but I'm not going to do the one thing that God has kept telling me to do. I'm just going to leave that out. Then you are going to be like Saul. Eventually, you're going to be like Belteshazzar. It's going to be mene, mene, tekel, huparzin. It's going to be time for you to realize that now judgment is going to come down in your life. God's judgment is going to come down in your life, and you're going to experience what that means. Understand what it means and understand what it means as a believer. I'm saying, you know, we have an altar in church. And why do we have an altar in church? While the word of God is being preached, God wants us to look at our lives in light of the word of God and say, what is God saying to me? What am I not doing that I should be doing? The sin of omission. To him that knoweth to do good, and what doeth it not, to him it is sin. You say, I don't drink, I don't chew, I don't run around with those who do. But what are you doing that God says? And if you're not doing what God says, then God will deal with that. I said God will deal with that. You hear it over and over again. And it's an invitation for you to say, you know what, Lord, I repent. I need to start doing what is being said and not just go through the motions to worship you. I need to realize that you've revealed the secret rebellion in my heart.
Right.
And I need to come to the altar.
Amen.
And bow my knees, because God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble.
That's right. Amen.
I'm saying too many believers ignore the altar.
Right.
They ignore the altar. They say that's just for kids. No, it's for adults.
That's right.
Last I checked out, Eli was 90-some years old and God dealt with him.
Yep.
It's for adults. It's for kids. It's for teenagers.
Yes.
If you're too old to get down in the altar, then you're just too old.
Yeah.
And you know, God may take you and take you to task. I'm just saying to a believer, there's a message here. Don't take the altar lightly. Don't be like an Achan who can testify to that. Don't be like an Ananias and Sapphira who got together as a husband and wife and can testify to that. Don't be like Saul of Tarsus, not Saul of Tarsus, the other Saul. Don't be like him. He can testify to that. Don't be like many in the church at Corinth who can testify to what I am saying. I'm saying this morning, don't you be a stubbornly disobedient church member. Don't you join the chorus of those that God gives time to repent in some area of your life where you fail to obey God, and God's been telling you over and over again, don't let the God's warning time run out on the clock of your life, because it means something to you as a believer. Number one, once you understand what it means, number two, understand what it means to the deep state and the shadow government over the United States. God said, here's the handwriting on the wall, mene, mene, tekel, huparzin. You know, you have run out. Judgment is now here. That very night, Belshazzar experienced that judgment. And he said, not only has your time run out, but your kingdom is going to be divided up to another group of people, and they're going to come in. And you know what happened? They were in there, and the handwriting came on the wall, and the man of God gave the interpretation. Now he knew what it was. You know, the globalists, before they do something, they like to make a movie about it. Well, before God does something, he likes to raise up the prophetic word of God to tell you what he's going to do. And you're going to hear about it today.
Good. Amen.
You say, are you a prophet? No, but I hang around with guys like Daniel and prophets of God. So I can give you the word of the prophets, inscripturated in Holy Scripture. And I can tell you how God works. And I'm just saying to you, the handwriting is on the wall. And what happened was that the armies of Cyrus, actually what they did was they diverted the Euphrates River so that underneath the wall there was the river flowing. But when they diverted the water of the river, it was dry, and the armies marched right in under the wall. And all of a sudden in the party, when Belshazzar is trying to honor Daniel, and Daniel said, I don't want it. I don't need your honor.
Yeah.
Here came the Medes and the Persian army and took him and executed him right then and there and removed him. I'm just saying that understand what it means to the deep state and the shadow government over the U.S. Mene means your time is up. Tekel means you don't measure up to God's plan for America. And huparzin is your kingdom is divided up and given to God's remnant. I'm saying to you that there are people today that pride themselves that they have taken over the Democrat Party. And do you know what? That's why people are walking away from the Democrat Party. They have taken it over their right. You know what the Democrat Party is called in my pulpit? The Demon Rat Party. It's infested with devils. And they've been taken over. You say, well, what about the Republicans? There are a lot of rhino Republicans that have taken over. But thank God for people like Matt Gaetz, who just sponsored legislation to get rid of the Federal Reserve, which has been used of Satan since 1913, listen to me, to control the money of this country and make it no good and control people in this country. And once again, we have somebody that's, at least thank God there are Republicans that are part of a movement to walk away from the globalist agenda and the Federal Reserve and abortion, which the Demon Rat Party officially endorses. And people in it that want true language and borders and cultures and to be a nation, not a one world government, antichrist thing. But that thing has been controlling the United States and has been controlling the politicians and the money of the politicians. And I see the handwriting on the wall. I see God's judgment about to come down. And these people in 2020 launched a bioweapon from Wuhan, China. They developed it under Barack Obama and Anthony Fauci in North Carolina. It moved to Wuhan, China to try to cover up their crimes. And then they release that bioweapon in order to keep Donald Trump from being elected, and Joe Biden got, quote unquote, supposedly more votes than Barack Obama or anybody else in the history of elections. If you believe that old man in a basement did that, I've got swampland in Florida to sell you. God doesn't believe it. Most of the American people don't believe it. And this morning, God says, I've weighed you in my scales of justice, and you are found wanting, globalist and deep state and shadow government people who've stolen the election. And say, if you say anything against it, we're going to prosecute you and persecute you like they're doing with America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, on his 80th birthday, coming in and indicting him. These wicked people, these evildoers, these prideful people that are draining America dry.
Right.
And may God deal with them. But may God deal with the fornicators and whoremongers in America too. Because a lot of people bring it on themselves, drinking and partying and whoring around. People living together, not married, in a marriage covenant. I'm hearing about it, and I'm sick and tired of it. Listening to ungodly music, men dressing like women, women dressing like men, which is an abomination to God. I give the men that dress like women this, at least they dress more like women than women dress. I give them that. Some of you gals could learn from these people that are screwed up. But this will straighten anybody out. And I'm just saying that God is fitting to shake America. God is fitting the handwriting's on the wall. And he's saying, globalist, I'm going to deal with you. And so they're fighting like crazy. They, instead of the handwriting on the wall, them loosing their loins and all of that, what are they doing? They're partying on, partying high. And they're going forward with their agenda, thinking they can do it. And so they steal the election. And then they try all these indictments against the true president that was truly elected and try to put him in jail. And the American people are seeing through it. He keeps going up in the polls. There's nothing they can do. Hey, listen, you need to get your head examined if you vote for Joe Biden and the demon rats. You say, well, I'm not going to vote for either one. Well, that's a vote for... Get off the fence.
Amen.
Get out or get off.
Amen.
Get in or get out. It's time to make a decision. And this is the time, beloved. It's the time when the handwriting is on the wall. It's either we do it right or we don't survive anymore.
Right.
There's no more time for patience. There's no time to wait till you get it right now. Some of you voted for Obama one too many times. You ought to repent of that. There's an altar right here for that. That's not God's agenda. Or you voted for Biden. That's not God's agenda. I'm just saying to you, the handwriting is on the wall. Understand what that means, number one, and understand what it means to you as a believer in Christ Jesus. Understand what it means to the deep state and the shadow government that has been controlling the United States through the Federal Reserve. And it all entered in 1913. It's been just getting worse and worse, beloved. Understand what that means and what is going on. They launched a bioweapon and they're doing all this lawfare and they're doing what they can do, and people that speak against it, they're launching lawsuits against them and taking their money from them and everything else. Understand what that means. But I believe what it means is God sees these systems of evil and he says, many, many tekel hu parson. In other words, you are being judged. Your time is up. You don't measure up. And others are going to divide up the spoil. I believe a lot of the wealth that they're trying to take to themselves are going to go to God's people who are praying for God's judgment and are ready to do God's work. And we need to look for that. Number three, not only what it means to the believer and what it means to the shadow government over the U.S., but understand what it means to you who are unrepentant and still unsaved. Many means don't boast yourself of tomorrow, because when your time is up, it is up, and you die and go to hell and you pay for your sins. You say, well, I'm a young person. Well, I had a friend of mine, a preacher, and he went to a movie theater. While he was in the movie theater, he and his friends got popcorn. And they were eating the popcorn and enjoying the movie. All of a sudden, one of his friends, the popcorn got lodged in his throat. He tried to breathe in, he couldn't breathe. They tried to get the popcorn out of his throat. They worked and worked. He turned all shades of blue. And suddenly, he died. A young kid. It can happen to you. I remember going to school. I was in the third grade. We used to have our little desks sitting around, and each person would have maybe four students in the third grade in that little section. And I was in Mrs. Smith's class and in Grand Rapids, Michigan, there, Wyoming, Michigan, Godwin Heights High School, and Godwin Heights Grade School. And there was another kid there, another. And we had a little girl, and I had Bev Post and Randy Bloom, and then I had a girl named Kathy Murphy, little Kathy Murphy. And her desk was empty. We said, where's little Kathy Murphy? She's not here today. What happened to her? Well, last night she went home from school. She had a skirt on, and she got up on a stove to reach up and get some cookies from the cupboard. And when she got up on the stove, she bumped the burner on the stove. It turned the gas on, and it caught her skirt on fire. She jumped down, and she started to run. And the skirt flamed up. And it burned over 90% of her body by the time they got her and started rolling her over. And little Kathy Murphy was gone. That was third grade. Then I went to fourth grade, and there was a kid in fourth grade. I remember this kid very well because I had come from Christian school to public school, and he was on the playground, and he got mad at me for some reason. He had a temper, and he took his Holloway Slowpoke. He had one of these great big Holloway Slowpoke lollipops. And he said, here, hold my lollipop. And I go, like a dummy, I go, okay. And he punched me right in the nose. He ended the fight right there. That was done. You know, I'd never been defeated in a fight before that. I used to box like this. And I land punches. But that kid, he just gave me a straight punch, and it was over. But that kid, he had a temper, and his dad said something to him, and he got mad at his dad, and he left the TV room or wherever they were, and he went up to his bedroom, and he took his belt out, he had a belt, and he wrapped it around his neck, and he's so mad at his dad, he was like going like this, on his neck, and then he let it up, you know, but when he let it up, he crushed his windpipe, and he was trying to suck, and he fell over dead. It was over. I had another friend named Dan Young who was about 6 foot tall, tall, dark, and handsome. He was probably the best looking kid in the school. He had a girlfriend called Sue Vanderwerf. He was now, I think, maybe just out of high school. She was in high school. He drove from our house to her house on a January night. He was coming back, and as he was coming back, his window fogged up, and he was almost home. His window fogged up, and we lived near a big place called Steelcase, and they had these great big 18-wheelers, and the 18-wheeler was in front of him, pulled out. By the time he saw the 18-wheeler, it was too late, and he hit the back of the 18-wheeler, and his head blew up the size of a basketball. And he was dead right then and there. You know what that is? That's called many, many tekel huparzin. Your time is up, many. You don't measure up. Tekel huparzin. What you have accumulated in this life now will go to others. You cannot take it with you. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about when you die and you're not a born-again Christian, you go directly to hell.
That's right.
You do not go to purgatory.
Right.
You go directly to hell. It is a literal place of darkness, fire, and screaming. And most people that die go there. You say, well, why do they go to hell? Because they don't measure up to God's standards. You say, what is God's standard? You need to be 100% obedient to everything in this book to go to heaven, because heaven is perfect and God is perfect. And unless you are perfect, you'll never get to heaven by anything good that you do. I compare it to a person that orders a pizza and they have all the good ingredients that they like, cheese and my favorite mushrooms and onions and pepperoni and all of this stuff on the pizza. And the pizza delivery man brings it to their house and it's got all the good things. That's like all the good things you do in your life to try to make yourself pleasing to God. And then the pizza's in a box and you say, well, I'd like to see all the ingredients that I ordered. I want to see if you put in there the double cheese and the onions. And the guy goes, oh, sure. And he opens it up to let you look at it. And when he bends over and shows it to you, out of his nose comes a bunch of snot. And falls right in the pizza. Are you going to eat the pizza?
No.
You're going to say, I want another one. I want another one. And guess what? That pizza is you. You don't measure up to God. The snot is your sin. The good ingredients in the pizza are all the good things that you hope will get you into heaven. But that pizza is not going in your mouth and you're not going in God's door of heaven because of your sin that has spoiled the good in your life. You need an entirely new pizza. With no snot. There's only one person I know of that was born of a virgin, that lived a perfect life, that had no snot of sin in his life, and that's Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen. Amen.
And he will give you that perfect pizza because he died to pay for the sins of the world. He is proof that God loves you. You say, I don't know if God loves me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I don't care if you're homosexual, if you're abomination to God, if you're a fornicator, whatever sin you committed, Jesus Christ paid enough to wash that sin away and to give you a new life.
Amen.
Now, he doesn't save you in your sin, but he'll save you from your sin.
Amen.
And so, this morning, the message is, mene, mene, tekel, huparzin. This is your time. It's up. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another moment. Accept God's love gift that he offers you. You don't measure up to get into heaven because you can't live that good enough life. And you need to realize if you don't get saved, you're going to leave it all behind. You can't take your friends with you. You can't take your family with you. You can't take your boyfriend or girlfriend with you. You can't take your clothes with you. You can't take your gadgets with you. You have to leave everything behind. That's what huparzin means. Perez. It's going to be divided up by others. You can't take it with you. But oh, if you will listen to me and you will say, you know what? I don't want the world. Take the world. Give me Jesus. Give me eternal life. The Lord will save you. He'll meet you right here where you are. He will take your sins and wash them away from your record, and you will have a promise of a home in heaven. Because it says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. It's not through the Pope. It's not through the sacraments. It's not through your good works. It's not through getting baptized. Not through joining the church. It's through your putting your personal faith in Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
That's God's message to you. I'm going to ask that we bow for prayer for just a moment. If you're a believer here,